Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's get to it. Let's start the show. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Quality Plus Printing's giving us Playmakers. I want to shout them out right away. I want to get that in there as much as we can because we are so happy to be here with all of you. Missed you guys. Missed you. We are here. James is here behind the mic. I'm here. I'm never going to do that again. I promise to never talk in third person again. Randy Paul is with us. Randy, good to see you.
Yeah, Randy's here too. Great.
Randy, it's great. Shaq is the only person that can do the whole third person thing as far as I'm concerned. I am not in that level. I am excited, though, because we got a fun show today. We're here all week. We'll be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Randy, it just hit me about 5 minutes before we got on the air here that we got a show all week this week. That one Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're going to be here. I'm excited about that. We're also excited to be joined by our friends from Tri-Norris Ski Club. They're going to be joining us, either calling up. I believe they're going to be calling up at any moment now. Looking forward to that. So we're going to talk a little bit about their Nordic days coming up. Hopefully had a perfect pregame right into Playmakers today. Shout out to Midday Magazine scheduler Pam Hilke, the heart of this station, and having the Rafters, new Rafter members joining us, and some of the new front office members joining us right before we got into the show here. Want to remind everybody that the Hot Stove event is right around the corner. Get your tickets for that and meet us at the Hotel Mead for that. It's going to be a fun event. We'll talk more about that and Rafters and River Kings a little bit later. Randy has some good coverage for us on that and looking forward to it. About 5:30, we will join Randy with that. But Randy, first off, how was your week? How's your new year starting? How's it going?
Well, it's been a while since I've had a chance to sit behind the desk here, and it's, I was very blessed, and we had a lot of family over, and everything went just smooth as could be, so just nice to get into the new year now and having a nice, cool start here the next couple of days. But I think it's going to warm up for us and then back into the freezer next week, maybe. But
yeah.
Outside of weather-wise, it's been pretty well.
Good to hear.
How about you?
Not bad. Been busy. It seems like since the New Year's Day, it's been a blur. And just like, oh, it's already the 13th? How did that happen? It's been a busy time. And it's not just, I think, in our own personal lives and kind of getting back into the swing of things through the holiday marathon, but sports has been crazy. Everybody is fighting for our eyeballs and our attention, and it's not even just one sport, but like football's devouring itself with college and pro football and everything, and there's just not enough time in the day to be able to focus and take in all of these sports. But we're trying, and thankfully we've got three shows to do it. We got 3 hours this week to do it with you and be able to cover all of this. And as long as we're waiting on our friends from Tri-Norris, Randy, there's really only one place we can start, and that is with the Green Bay Packers and coming out of the game yesterday. And I think I want to hear from the audience. I want to hear from actual Packer fans about how you feel about this team, how you feel about the season, and how you felt about that game yesterday. But I do got a couple of places to start us off. And there's a phrase Jim Collins had: good is the enemy of great.
Hmm.
And it's an interesting phrase, and it's debatable, I think. But it's something that Green Bay could be in a situation of, and has been in before. And whether this is a good or a bad place, again, is completely, arbitrary. It's completely up to you. But right now, we have a team that is the youngest in the NFL, and that has, at least off the top of my head, 9 to 10 first-round draft picks. Now, usually you only get good draft picks and everything when you're drafting in the top 10 or something like that. But the NFL has proven otherwise. See Lamar Jackson being drafted last pick in the first round. And plenty of other examples there. But you've got a lot of talent on this team. You've got a lot of energy on this team, or a lot of excitement for this team. You just paid your quarterback. There is a coaching staff and a coach in place that isn't going anywhere. While I heard a lot of people complaining about Matt LaFleur yesterday and today on social media and all that, and a little bit on the radio, I don't believe anybody thinks that he's going anywhere in the offseason. He's going to be there next year. What you have right now, though, is a team that's good. That's great. But how far that gets you is what you've seen. You're not getting out of the first round unless you play a Dallas team that is run by Mike McCarthy. Other than that, we don't know. And this is, again, I brought up a young team. So keeping that in mind, and keeping in mind that this team, this front office, has also proven We got holes in our team. We're losing Aaron Jones, one of the spark plugs of our team. Let's go ahead and get a younger spark plug in Josh Jacobs, and he ends up being the MVP of the team, I believe, this season. You know, again, you guys can correct me, but by far and away, I think Josh Jacobs was the MVP for the Green Bay Packers this year. He might have gotten himself into the Packer Hall of Fame with that season he had this year. He's not going anywhere, but they've shown, okay, we will address situations. We will address holes in the team. So, taking that in mind and having a hopeful perspective, I would think, as a Packer fan, going into next season, hey, maybe they'll grab an offensive lineman, maybe they'll grab a defensive lineman, maybe they'll grab a corner, maybe they'll grab T. Higgins, like everybody keeps saying, one of these things. All of that in mind, one thing that has been very consistent with this team, the body language and the leadership on this team, the maturity of this team. I understand, I've said it twice already, it's the youngest team in the NFL. They're also grown men. They're all adults, all getting paid thousands, if not millions of dollars, to play a kid's game for a living. And one of the biggest things that they teach you in business, in sports, and all of the above is your body language and how you treat your teammates, how you treat the game. And I've talked before about Jordan Love and his body language after a bad play. I've talked about it. Jordan Love is like Lovie Smith to me. If you just focus on him, I have no idea how that team is doing until something bad happens. Then I see it. Yeah, I see a little bit of excitement after a cool touchdown or something like that. But really, the only emotion you see is him shaking his head back and forth, or like, oh, here we go again when Christian Watson goes down. And look at him. The camera goes to him, and immediately he's shaking his head and like, oh, no, and the world is falling and all this. And I keep blaming this young man. And then I look at his head coach, and I've not really looked at Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur has skated by in my vision because of his winning record. And we see the same stat almost every Packer game. Second winning coach in Green Bay history and all that. But Matt LaFleur's body language is some of the worst I've ever seen in a head coach. He has almost no accountability, almost no leadership, none. And when you have a guy who, again, I don't know Matt LaFleur, and he wouldn't know me, and him and I aren't having a beer together anytime soon. But when I see a guy who seems to pay more attention to his haircut than the game calling, when I see a guy who keeps making mistakes at the end of games, costly mistakes, and when I see a team that is the youngest in the NFL that needs coaching, where's the coaching? I see a bunch of guys out there that want to look good. I see a bunch of guys out there that want to, be able to do their cool moves and everything when they make a big play or something like that. But I don't see a team. I don't see a team, Randy. I don't see a bunch of guys that want to fight and play for each other. Now, I believe that they do. I can't imagine any football team from Pop Warner to the NFL that doesn't go out there and want to fight and play for each other, especially in the playoffs. But I don't see any of it. And I will say this, as long as Matt LaFleur is that head coach, I'm done being afraid of that team. I'm done. I'm done being afraid of them. I don't care if we're going into week 16 next year and Jordan Love is the MVP candidate and the Packers are 16-0. I am not afraid of that team because I see no toughness in that team. I see no leadership in that team. And the body language of that team tells me all I got to do is punch them in the mouth. I punch them in the mouth, they're done. They're done. Like, that opening kickoff goes the way it does, and that game was almost done. I'm talking to other Packer fans, and I'm trying to pick them up and everything. I'm pretty good at this as a Chicago fan. I've been having to do this my whole life, pick up and, Devin Smith scores a touchdown on the opening play of the Super Bowl, and everything else is horrible. But that whole game, I was trying to tell my family, my friends, oh, it's okay. It could be all right. Rex Grossman's playing in Florida. He's from here. He gets this. It didn't go well. I know what I'm talking about with that. And all I can, I'm scraping at the bottom of the barrel trying to find things to be positive about that team. And by the end of the game, all I can see is look at the leader of the team, is look at Matt LaFleur. And I don't think Matt LaFleur deserves to lose his job. I don't think that he is a bad coach, but he has horrible body language and horrible, it's, and with that, bad leadership. I never saw Bill Parcells crying his eyes out in a press conference or on the sidelines like this guy. I'm not saying that coaches don't whine. They all do. That's how you get calls, half of these guys and everything. And all of them can lose their minds. But my God, Matt LaFleur, it comes across like a whiny baby. And I don't know how you win with that. I've never seen that win a Super Bowl. And that is not only the hottest seat in the NFL next season, I believe. It has to be. I don't know how it can't be with the money that's put into that team and the first round draft picks and all of that. But I don't know how you fix something like that. Am I alone on this? Do you see any of that, Randy? Do you guys see any of that? 715-424-2600. Hit me in the numbers. Call up and join the conversation. Shut me up. Tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I want to be corrected on this. I want to be wrong. I don't think I am. What do you see?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about being a young team, and I was thinking back to the Aaron Rodgers first or second year, they were like 6-10. So, you know, struggling as he is, yesterday I think there was 9 or 10 starters that were out. That's half your football team.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, that makes it kind of tough when you've got backups in there. They're just trying to survive, much less. And you could see when they brought in that replacement for Elgton Jenkins, that young man was not ready. And then the next person up for him, he ends up falling on Josh Myers' leg.
Yeah, so, horrible. Just a horrible accident.
And they were talking, you know, I'm just listening to the start of the game on the radio, and they're talking about how Luke Musgrave might be able to stretch the field and take the place of what Watson wasn't able to do. Did Musgrave play yesterday?
I'm not even sure, and I didn't see hardly any of that in the game.
So if you count Musgrave, they were actually missing 9 players yesterday.
Yeah.
6 got hurt during the game. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Josh Jacobs actually got hurt a little bit towards the end of the ball game. Jenkins and Myers, as we said. Quay Walker got hurt. He hurt his ankle. Jair didn't play. Watson didn't play. And again, where was Musgrave? I'm not sure. I didn't see anything about him not playing. So if you're missing half your team, that makes it really, really tough. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I think
it's just going to be one of those situations where you're going to have to let them grow a little bit, add a few more veterans. You know, I think good decisions to add McKinney as well as Jacobs, and if they can get another corner. You know, I think personally Jair's time in Green Bay is done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just hurt, misses 7 games every year, and you just can't continue to keep throwing a backup in there, and they're going to have to get somebody in free agency. You know, and it really is a strong possibility Davante Adams comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking like he wants to come back to Green Bay, and it would kind of remind me of Charles Woodson, right?
Yeah.
How he was in Oakland, and then he went back there after Green Bay.
I would love to see that, especially for Davante Adams. Some of my favorite feet in the NFL. If you watch Davante Adams' feet before the setup, before the hut and everything, it's some of the coolest stuff you'll ever see. His footwork is amazing.
And, you know, last year the big talk was not having a number one receiver was maybe a good thing because then you have multiple choices. But at other times, if you don't have a go-to guy in a situation where it's a 3rd and 3 and you end up having to throw it to Malik, you know, on the outside, that's they saw Heath got his foot down out of bounds and that ended that drive.
I want to say one thing real quick. If you notice when I was talking about this game, I didn't say anything about they should have won the game or them losing the game or anything like that. You lost to a good team. I don't believe there are upsets in the NFL playoffs. I don't believe there are any upsets. I don't care if an 8 beats a 1. That's not an upset. We're talking about football. I'm not going to over-explain that to anybody. I don't believe that there are upsets. Had Green Bay won that game, I'd be saying the same stuff I'm saying right now. What I feel like the issues are for the team. You can't do anything about health. You can work on it, but that's depth and some of those things, and everybody's only got so much money. But I do think that the issue to me is so much more bigger than that even, bigger than injuries, bigger than all of those things. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm going to want to talk about the cold chat. I wanted to talk about I thought Philly was a dirty team. Play dirty.
How?
The shot to Elgton Jenkins, the guy went at him with his helmet on his shoulder, head first. Mm. That ain't the way to tackle.
No, he wasn't trying to tackle him. He was trying to bum rush through the line.
He was trying to take out Elgton, I think.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
Another player got hit the same way. Head first into his shoulder, and that not only took them out for that game, but any future game if they would have won, he would have been out.
It didn't look dirty to me. It looked like a hit, or not even a hit, a collision. I didn't think that the accidental injury that happened to the center, anybody got pushed into him, that knocked his own guy into him, or any of those things. I mean, these things happen in football all the time.
But again,
at the same time, sir, I don't want to disagree with you because I haven't watched a ton of Philadelphia Eagles football. I think the Eagles have a... I don't know if you dirty is such a I don't like throwing that out there, but I will say that they have a reputation of playing certain type of football, and they were tougher. They were just tougher. Like they're I don't know how you can't like looking at it's almost like watching a Division II team and a SEC team playing each other when I'm looking at the two teams here in Philly and Green Bay. And Philly, it's not about wanting it more or anything like that to me. It's how hard are you playing this game? How hard are you hitting? How strong are you approaching every single down? Philly's loaded. They loaded that team up. They got a lot of money put in that team. That being said, that coaching staff, which I have very little respect for, coached them up. You got Vic Fangio back there, one of the better DCs in football history, man. And that's the way he coaches these guys, is hitting them hard. That's the way you got to coach your team. You don't like it, play hard football.
I don't think going head first with the top of his head into his shoulder was clean.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been.
He did it twice.
Anything else, sir?
Took out two of our players that way.
Yeah, it might have. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate you. I want to keep the phone lines open because we're trying to get Tri-Norris to call in here. Our friends over at Tri-Norris, Christine's going to be joining us. If not today, maybe she'll be able to join us on Wednesday's show. Because I want to talk about Nordic Days coming up, Randy. It's a fun event that we have in this area. And we love our friends over at Tri-Norris Ski Club. Want to have them join us pretty soon here, hopefully. And you can call us, 715-424-2600. As we are talking about off-season a bit, Randy, some of the big edge free agents out there, Josh Sweat, Khalil Mack, DeMarcus Lawrence, Chase Young are some of the names out there. You could see Preston Smith along with Jadeveon Clowney, Trey Hendrickson, some of the names that are out there along with Von Miller. DTs, there's a handful of decent defensive tackles out there. Linebacker's a little thin, although Zach Bond is going to be out there, former Badger, and you know, just had an amazing game. Very happy for him and the way he's been playing.
And we're going to see Rip Van Ginkle tonight playing for the Vikings.
Yes. Nick Bolton, who has been one of Kansas City's better linebackers, he is going to be a free agent as well. So there's a handful of D's, defensive players out there that could pull some interest from Green Bay as well. Let's take a phone call. Good afternoon, you on the air.
Well, good evening, fellas.
Hey, man. Howdy. What's on your mind?
Well, you know the Vikings are always on my mind.
Mm.
And I'm going to make a prediction.
Mm.
And I predicted it last night with Jordan Love with three interceptions. I'm going to say Harrison Smith has at least one interception tonight. Vikings-Rams.
Do you feel good about Minnesota in this game?
Well, they beat us earlier this season, so, I'm a Viking fan. I know how Vikings.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. It's so funny when you ask it. This is Chicago, this is Green Bay, this is Minnesota. You ask any of our fan bases how we feel about our team, and we could have, Vegas could be predicting us to have a 2-score win or something. And, like, I don't know. I mean, they're going to do what they do sometimes. They let us down all the time. So it's understandable.
I don't know if you remember, but like a week or two ago, I called in and I said that the Vikings and the Bears and the Packers, or not the Bears, the Vikings, Lions, and Packers were all going to just beat each other up and somebody was going to lose to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Well, somebody just lost to the Eagles.
Well, so. You keep it up, man. You're going to be running this show. You're going to be. I can't make predictions like that.
You know,
I can't do
one
that.
One of the things I always worried about with the Vikings all year was they had so many close games and not always against superior talent. And I know in the NFL anybody can beat anybody. But then when they played the Lions the other week, did they have 9 points and no touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that's kind of, you worry if that catches up to you at this point in the year. And you know how those defensive coordinators are. They can see what works for the other team and they can implement it. And sometimes it makes it difficult for them as they go forward.
One thing I wouldn't, you know, if the Vikings do lose tonight, I wouldn't mind losing to Matt Stafford because I really like Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Stafford's really won me over.
He's a very underrated quarterback.
Yeah, I wonder. I imagine, you know, especially since the position he plays, they love to put them in the Hall of Fame. I wonder if he's a Hall of Famer. I've heard this debate a lot since he won the Super Bowl, and I wonder. Always appreciate the call, man.
Right on.
Hey, you have a good
luck tonight.
Thank you. Yes, yes. We'll see. I'm always going to root for NFC North teams. I can't help myself. I'm curious to see how the game goes tonight. It should be a good one, that's for sure. A couple of quick notes before we wrap up the first half of the show here. The Bears have requested a head coach interview with Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stenbich.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's our offensive line coach, too, isn't he?
Yeah,
great. He does a nice job with their offensive line.
He does. But, jeez. The Bears are doing all their interviews on Zoom, by the way. They could be having people coming into the building and all of that. They don't want that team to win. The McCaskies don't want that team to do well, I'm telling you.
I think now that McCarthy's been released by the Cowboys, he's your next head coach, don't you?
Dear God, Randy, why? I thought we were friends. No. No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you. Kasim Nixon, I believe. Kasim Nixon, is that how you say his first name? Kasim Nixon, who, of course, is an all-pro at kick returner. Went to the Pro Bowl as a kick returner and certainly had the game yesterday.
For the Packers, Keyshawn.
Yes, I'm sorry. Keyshawn Nixon. Thank you. It had the fumble in the game to start off the game yesterday and everything. He has just come out and said, in the last couple of hours, came out and said he wants to be done returning kicks, and not just because the two-time All-Pro fumbled there, but that he wants to be considered a cornerback one, a starting cornerback, and doesn't think he can be one if he's using up a lot of energy on the returns.
I got a real quick question to throw at you. Okay, he fumbles the opening kickoff, maybe recovered it. There's some controversy about that. You know, so often, this happened at the end of the game, I believe it was last night, where there was a punt with 4 seconds left and they sent a guy back. Maybe it was a Packer game. They fair caught it with 4 seconds left in the half. And then they took a knee. And I'm like, why would you have anybody back there to catch the ball and then take a knee? Especially since you could fumble and give them the ball at the 10-yard line with 4 seconds left.
I was thinking the same thing.
There's so many times I just don't understand why they have a guy deep in critical situations like that. Like, he's probably not going to take it back. What are the percentages of a guy returning a punt all the way? Probably more that they'll fumble than they will return it all the way.
Right.
And I would never have anybody back in a lot of those crucial situations.
No, especially, and this is not, this was going on during the games over the weekend and everything, but you see what happened with the kid from San Diego, the kicker from there, and the PAT mishap, and how quickly San Diego, or Los Angeles, just gets a little bit of momentum in that game, and it's all gone off of a PAT. Mm-hmm. You know, just for one, not knowing the rules well enough, which, what do you doing? How do you play this game and not know the rules?
The ball up.
Man, that was bad. That was bad. Before we go to break, did want to mention this one. There's a great story at civicmedia.us. I can encourage you all to check it out, civicmedia.us. Jordan Love's Foundation provides athletic gear to Wisconsin kids. Terry Barr and Mike Clemens worked on this one. A big shout out to both of them. It's a great article. It's a wonderful article focusing on Hands of 10 Love. 10 Love is the host fundraiser event.
And I think I saw him giving out soccer shoes to one of the teams in the area, and that's one of the things they're going to do to 10 teams, maybe it is.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that stuff is never going to get old. That is pretty cool. And he's showing a lot of emotion in this. It looks like he's having a great time with it, too. The kids are ecstatic. These kids are they're never going to stop talking about this. We will be talking to you coming back. Randy will be with us with, of course, his local coverage. And we'll be talking to you on the phone. Plenty more coming up here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are open. Hit us in the number 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We got some local coverage for us right now. Randy, what do you got for us?
Well, let's start by taking a look back at some area basketball for the boys from last week. Wisconsin Rapids fell twice back on Tuesday in a game you heard on our sister station, WIRI. Wausau East, ranked number 6 in Division 2, held off the Raiders 55-39. And then on Thursday, Rapids came up 5 short to Merrill, 54-49. Tomorrow night, Rapids will be at Spash. Also on Tuesday, Assumption routed Rosholt 72-43. J.T. Schlafer led the scoring parade with 16 points as 10 different Royals scored on the ball game. And then on Friday, the Royals lost at Rib Lake by 3, 42-39. Schlafer once again was the leading scorer with 13. Assumption will travel to Stratford to take on the Tigers tomorrow night. Port Edwards' only game was a 48-45 win at Pittsville last Tuesday, as Brendan Beck had 19 points for the Blackhawks and Max Michaels added 15. Ben Friday also had 19 points for Pittsville, while Dawson Luther had 18. Port will be at Menominee Nation tonight and will host Pacelli on Thursday in a game Michael, Seth, and I hope to have for you on WIRI. And Nakusa split a pair last week, winning 69-49 on Tuesday over Northland Lutheran, and then falling on Friday at Westfield 62-44. The Papermakers are off until Thursday when they host the Hornets of Wautoma. On the girls' side of the ledger, Wisconsin Rapids was victorious twice last week, winning 56-24 at Wausau East, and then at home over Merrill 67-37. The Lady Raiders will also be at Stevens Point tomorrow night. Third-ranked Assumption also picked up a pair of road W's as they defeated Stratford 55-45. Anna Schooley led the way with 18 points, while Sarah Shaw and Jordan J. Glinski added 16 and 15 points apiece. On Friday, the Royals rolled Rib Lake 67-36. Schooley again scored 18 points. J. Glinski added 15 and Shaw 12. Assumption is at home on Thursday as they will entertain Newman Catholic. And one note, the start time of that ball game has been changed. It was originally scheduled for 7:15. It's now at 5:30. Back on Monday, Port Edwards got beat by Gresham 49-19 with Naomi Gruba scoring 9 points. On Thursday, they lost at Northland Lutheran 71-39. Gruba had 16 points, while Brenna Ingram and Taylan McDonald each added 10. The Hawks will also be at Menominee Nation tonight. And Nakusa also came up short twice last week, losing at home on Monday to Mauston 55-12, and on the road at Westfield on Friday 73-22. The Papermakers will host Cooley Christian tomorrow night. Wisconsin Rapids hockey squad improved to 5-9 on the season with a 7-2 win over Northwest Iceman. They outshot the Northwest Iceman 47-14.
I saw that. That was just the way I had to double check that.
Wow. Pagel Jacks with 2 goals and 2 assists for 4 points. Raiders were up 4-1 after the first period, and that was already 7-2 the final after 2 periods. And Wisconsin Rapids wrestling last Thursday, they defeated Merrill 53-20. In conference, Marshfield leads the way at 3-0. Rapids is 2-0, while Wausau West is 2-1. Three Dubs comes to town tomorrow night to take on Rapids. And that's some of our area stuff. Of course, the River Kings, they split this last weekend at home against the Squatch. The Squatch now come in with a record of 24-5-2, while Rapids is 24-7-1, so very close with Squatch leading the way there. But lost on Friday 6-1, and then were winners 7-2, so kind of a couple of routes both ways that this weekend.
Yeah, they kind of almost switched scores in the games Friday and between Friday and Saturday. Looking forward to talking with Coach. I'd really love to have talked to him after the game on Friday. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know how he was feeling after that, and certainly looking forward to when he will be able to join us soon. I actually think that in some ways, and look, I admit that you can spin anything in sports, but I do think that that Friday game led to that Saturday game. I think that that's how that works out oftentimes, especially in hockey, and especially when you've got young goalies and you got guys that are just still learning to gel together. While this team has tons of chemistry, and they've been winning a lot and putting up a lot of great high-score games, can't be lost on us any different than what we're talking about with Green Bay and the Packers and their youth, the youth of this team, and the way that they're still gelling together and everything. At the same time, I don't think that there's any excuses coming out of that locker room, and there's anybody who expects anything other than what they saw Saturday night out of that team. And it's going to be a fun race to the through the regular season here. Make no mistake about it. I know it says regular season. We're in the playoffs, everybody. We're in the playoffs right now in hockey. We're in the tail end of the second end half of the season. We're in a win or go home in a situation, win or go home in a way that we are playing for home ice advantage throughout the playoffs here. So if you don't want to be traveling during the playoffs, you want that first play, that first, you know, win first in the division and everything. That's what they're fighting for right now.
You know, that kind of struck me too as I see that Assumption is going to be playing host to Newman Catholic, and that was their first game of the year when they played. That means that they are the second go-around already in conference. And I know that Assumption's got a lot of non-conference game in the second half here. But conference-wise, they're already on the second time through the schedule. So here we are in the midst of January, and the next thing we'll know, we'll be talking about playoffs and where they're going and who they'll be taking on. And that just happens.
It just happens so fast. Yeah. The next time the Kings will be in action, they will be taking on the Northwest Express on the 18th. And then the 17th, they'll be at the Marshfield Ice Arena as part of the blue and white game, where coach and team are going to be up there kind of building hockey, you know, building hockey up and down the river and literally, like getting up there to Marshfield and everything. And I think that's amazing. I want to see more youth hockey in Wisconsin Rapids. I want to see more of this here in our town. I want to see our local high school coaches getting in touch with the coach and working with him and getting the gelling this. This is how this is done. You work with your local high schools and you get things done to working together as far as building a sport. You have a great opportunity here in Wisconsin Rapids with your Rafters, with your River Kings. These guys should be talking to all these high school coaches and vice versa and working together because it's about the kids first and foremost and building these sports. Certainly, first and foremost. The Kings then will be back in action, taking on the Minnesota Mullets on January 24th. Both those games will be at home. We encourage to see you at the rink. We'll meet you at the Salto County Rec Center. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Follow the boys of winter all winter long.
And for those of you who don't know where Northwest Express is, they play in Spooner.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's great, Randy. It was great talking with the new front office of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters today. Great conversation with those guys. Had a lot of fun hanging out and talking with them. More on that in a moment. I did have a couple of other notes just to piggyback off of Randy's local coverage here. We were going to be joined by our friends from Tri-Norris Ski Club. We are going to talk about Nordic Day at the Tri-Norris Winter Park coming up on January 18th, this Saturday. It'll be going from 10 to 3 over at 1001 County Road O, right in Nacoosa. Just off Highway 13 in the beautiful town of Rome. Come out to the park to explore the trails for free. The inside trails will be marked for snowshoeing or hiking, and if we have enough snow on the outer trails, it'll be groomed for cross-country skiing. Bring your kids to a try-it ski jumping session. Oh, that is good. I want to say that one more time. A try-it ski jumping session. Well done, you guys. They will learn to ski jump starting from the 5-millimeter hill with some veteran ski jumpers. They're offering two sessions, one at 10:30 a.m. and then another at 1 o'clock. They have limited supply of skis, helmets, and boots for the youth jumpers to use, so they strongly encourage pre-registration. And they're limited each session to 10 jumpers. Warm up inside the chalet, enjoy some food and some concessions at the stand. Take a chance and support Tri-Norris by purchasing some raffle tickets for their 50-50 raffle. The drawings will take place at the end of the day. Find out more at their Facebook page. Go to Tri-Norris Winter Park. Just type that in there, Tri-Norris Winter Park or Tri-Norris Ski Club, and it should pop right up. And if you want to register for the events or any of the sessions here, or if you just want to find out more, email them, trinorriswinterpark@gmail.com. trinorriswinterpark@gmail.com. Also wanted to remind everybody, it's that time of year again, the Port Edwards basketball alumni game coming up. You're invited to the annual alumni recognition basketball game. They do this every year. The female team going to be playing on the 14th, and then the male team will be playing on the 16th. Alumni basketball players attend will be given admission to the games, be treated to on-court inductions at halftime, and enjoy a great time. They always have a good time with this event. Always.
Yeah, so for the female athletes, that'll be taking place during the game we're broadcasting on Thursday.
Yeah. Keep that in mind, everybody. And congrats to all the Blackhawks over there and
all
that. I hope they have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were mentioning this, the big event, the Rafters Hot Stove is back. Back baseball season is right around the corner, and your Rafters are ready for another amazing summer at historic Winter Field. The annual Hot Stove event is this Saturday at at the Hotel Mead from 6 to 9. Have fun and keep warm next to the stove and everything. Join them to hear from the front office about the upcoming season, get an exclusive sneak peek at the 25 promotional schedule, and a special presentation from new field manager Tom Zigalowski. Ziggy is going to be joining us. I can't call him that yet. I got to meet him first before I can call him Ziggy. And hitting coach is going to be there too. Hitting coach from the 2016 championship team and current coach in the Mets organization, Devin DeYoung, going to be with us as well. That is going to be cool. Looking forward to that. Admission is $5 if you RSVP in advance, $10 at the door. Season ticket holders and ticket package holders and host families will receive free admission. Tickets are limited, so RSVP today at NorthwoodsLeague.com. NorthwoodsLeague.com. Excited for more Rafter baseball. And just to, and I don't think the guys will mind this, had in our new assistant general manager, our new promotional guy, and we're talking before we got going on the Midday Magazine today in our pregame, and we are going to be so Rafter focused this summer, so Rafter focused, you guys. Last year, I will say I dropped the ball on this one. There's plenty of things going around, but there's got to be a face to these things. I'll say I did, and did not do a darn good enough job of getting the Rafters on these airwaves when it comes to players and coaches and all of that. That changes now. That changes going forward. I had a great conversation with actually at the end of last season with their GM and Ken. Talked with him a little bit, and now talking with these guys, we feel very confident we will have Meet Your Rafters back and so much more exciting fun things with our Rafters. Cannot wait. Baseball is just, as Randy was just saying, these things go so fast. Before we know it, spring will be here. Just got to hang in there, everybody. Hang in there through the cold.
Well, I saw that we just got an update on the schedule that's come out, and the first game that they will be playing will fall in May.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be just around the corner. It'll be May 26th as they will be at home taking on Green Bay at 6:30 p.m. So mark your calendars, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter always says, keeps us abreast of when the Major League spring training starts, and that's just around the corner as
Cannot
well.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, you get through the football season, then our hearts start warming up for baseball.
One of these years, I wanted as my job to go out there and cover spring training, like in Florida or California or one of those things. Arizona. Yeah, any of the above. I love the idea of that. I don't even know if I'd be any good at it, but I would love to have that as a job. It seems like it'd be fun. Looking at our sports schedule for this week, coming up tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Ohio State. Wednesday, got a Playmakers for you at 5, and then at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Thursday, Port Edwards boys basketball hosting Pacelli. Mike, Randy, Seth going to cover that one for you on WIRI 105.5. Looking forward to that, Randy. Always good to hear you guys on the airwaves. And then on Friday, we'll have a Playmakers at 5. And here at WFHR at 6:30, Wisconsin men's hockey hosting LIU. Over on WIRI, Assumption boys basketball hosting Newman Catholic. Mike, Randy, Seth going to cover that one.
Only my second and third broadcasts of the year. I've been way crazy too busy, that's for sure, I'll tell you.
Before we go to break, I do have our stat of the show, Randy.
Okay.
I do want to get into that real quick. And it's nothing real magical. It's nothing really that crazy. But as we're getting ready for the second round of playoffs, I heard, not a stat, but I heard somebody mention the other day that Patrick Mahomes is 29.
Years old?
He's 29.
Years old?
Yep. That's
wow.
It. He's going to be 30 in September. Next September. He's only 29.
How old's Aaron Rodgers?
I don't,
41-ish?
Yeah, something like that. But Patrick Mahomes has got quite a few records already broken at this age, and including a ton of them, but like quickest to 2,000 yards, quickest to 200 touchdowns, all of those things that you've heard. But have you heard this stat that I think is quite interesting? The Kansas City has now won its last 12 games when trailing by exactly 10 points. That includes 3 Super Bowl championships, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
That he already has the most come-from-behind victories at this age, at the age he's at, more than anybody's ever had by far and away. He's had 6 of them.
You know, talking with that caller about Minnesota, how they've had all these close games against not always top-tier teams, you almost get a little bit of the same kind of feeling with Kansas City this year. that they've had too many close games?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That you think maybe come playoff time they could lose this year?
I'm one of the bigger Mahomes fans there is, and I've liked Kansas City a lot. I would not bet on them at all. Mm-hmm. Although, at the same time, I have a hard time betting against Patrick Mahomes. So this is why I don't bet.
Who do you like better, the Ravens, or do you like better Buffalo?
Ravens. And Josh Allen has done nothing to sway anybody. Like, if you say Buffalo, I'm not going to fight you on that one. I think we might have the Super Bowl happening this weekend with Buffalo and Baltimore. That may be the game of the playoffs. I don't know, but, man, I hope it is. I don't hope it's the best game in the playoffs, but I hope it's a great game. That feels like in March Madness when we get to Kentucky and Duke in the second round.
Yeah.
Like, it feels weird. Like, that should be a Final Four matchup or something. So I feel like we're lucky as fans to get this matchup.
Boy, we've had some awesome semifinals in college football too, haven't we?
Yes.
Those two semifinal games were crazy endings.
Just real quick to wrap up the stat of the show here for context, Tom Brady was 36-61 in games his team trailed by 10 plus points in his career. 36-61 for maybe the greatest winner we've ever seen at quarterback. That's kind of wild to me. I'm glad you brought up the college game, Randy, because I do want to talk about that a little bit. We will get into that more maybe on the other end of the break. But I think, for one, we've all here in the Midwest, us Midwest football fans, I know it's Notre Dame and Ohio State. And I've been on the airwaves many times talking about how I feel about Notre Dame. There is no journalistic integrity. I can't stand that team. And I wholeheartedly own that. And I probably the team that's right behind, if there was no Notre Dame, it would be Ohio State. So there's very little for this championship for me to root for. But I hope to watch the game. And I am also going to be having a smile on my face throughout the game that this may be the only time we see a Midwest championship game. You know, like, I know it's not exactly the teams some of us want in there and everything, but the SEC is not going to take this line down. The SEC is not going to take the one team that made it this far. It was Texas. How they fix that, I don't know, but I know one way they're going to try to fix it, and they're going to throw a lot of money at it. And real quick, when it comes to that, just a quick note about NIL and some of that, and some of the money that's getting thrown around in college football and everything, that is going to come down. That's not going to keep rising up. Right now, you've got revenue that these teams are pulling in that they are not going to have in a couple of years from now. They're pulling in TV money. They're pulling in money from their conference TV deals and some of that. So they're able to use that along with the NIL money that these boosters have. So I'm not saying that NIL money ain't going to be a little crazy. I'm not saying that it's not still going to be the Wild West as long as the NCAA does nothing, which they are doing right now. Man, it must be nice to be collecting a paycheck if you work for the NCAA. It must be nice, man. What do you do? Like, what do you really do for a living if you work? You just got a title and you go to your office every day and just kind of sit there. Like, I can't imagine you do much if you work for the NCAA.
One thing they should do, I think, is that they should stop this transfer portal until after the national championship game.
100%.
Oh, you had so many players leaving, they didn't play into the bowl games, so the bowl games were so unpredictable. You thought, oh, this would be a good matchup. You know, the records are about the same. Well, half the team is gone.
I also think that they, if I'm a booster and I'm paying these kids, all right, I have no problem paying you grown-up money. You got to be a grown-up. Your team doesn't make it to the playoffs. I'm sorry. You're worried about your draft stock. I'm sorry. You have a contract with me. You're still part of my university. I want to see you in the Pop-Tart Bowl. I want to see you in the Mayo Bowl. I don't care about your draft stock. You're a this right now. You're a Husky right now, or you're a Badger right now.
Because they might be making more than they would in the NFL.
Yeah.
If they even make it in the NFL.
I am all for player empowerment. I'm all for these athletes getting paid. But if you get paid for a job, you've got to do the job.
Considering less than 1% make it to the NFL?
Yeah.
They're probably, a lot of these guys are never going to see this kind of money again.
This is a great opportunity to show them that, hey, it does actually, you grind and you grind at this since you were 7, 8 years old, and even though you don't make it to the NFL, you could still make a paycheck and you can still look back at your childhood and all this and say, hey, it was a worthwhile investment. That's a great life lesson right there. The lesson gets lost if I collect the money, but I don't fulfill my part of the job. I don't fulfill my part of the requirement. That's something that they've got to work out in contracts. They've got to work those things out in the fine lining. But I do think that it's so easy to get throw your arms up in the air and say, oh, NIL's ruined this, NIL's ruined that, transfer portal has ruined all these things. No, it's not that. It is just like anything else in life. Human beings are doing that. The rules need to be reworked by human beings. You're always going to have somebody. When I worked at, this is a throwback for the audience out there. When I worked at Deja Vu Video, Randy, old video store, back when they used to rent videos.
Whatever they are.
Yeah, right. I worked there, and we used to get this magazine that was just sold to video stores and everything. And in there was a VCR that could dub tapes.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And you could basically make your own copy of Forrest Gump and all this. And on the very other side was a device to stop that from happening. This is the way rules work. There's always going to be people that are going to try to skirt them and all that. That's where, again, it's why you're paid NCAA. Do your job. Get out there and stop this from happening. Or at the very least, come up with some rules and some guidelines for these things. Hey, kids, you can transfer if you want, but you got to stick it out there. You get one transfer. Or you get two, or whatever, outside of injury circumstances or something like that. Hey, you're paid money from, great, that's awesome, well done, you're an adult. Now do your job and finish the job. Yeah, you have to finish the job. And that means you're playing as long as your team is playing. And you don't, none of these transferring while your team is still out there, and you got your teammates and your former teammates out there bleeding and grinding out there while you're, doing interviews. I agree with you, man. I don't think that's kosher at all. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers.
Is 4 a number like Brett Favre? Is that a temperature?
It feels like it. Yeah, it feels like it's just like a half a baseball score. Yeah. Like, what are the other teams scoring? What is going on?
A partial score.
Randy and James here with you another 5 minutes. Go ahead and give us a call, 715-424-2600. Love to hear from every one of you out there. In our pregame there, or in our kind of break there, Randy, we were talking a little bit, and two things popped in my head. One I meant to mention earlier. When I was talking about the Green Bay Packers and the leaders and the fight in that team and all of that, I would like to add, I was not talking about Edgerrin Cooper. That young man is fine. Like, he's got some learning to do here and there and everything, but you got a real one right there. You got a linebacker. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro, I don't know, or any of that, but I believe that you got an all-down guy. You got a guy who is going to give it to you every single down and give you everything he has. That kid, you lock him up. That should be all right.
You know, Philadelphia, the number one defense in the NFL, so for the Packers only scored 10 points with 10 guys hurt, that's you can see how that could happen. But they held Saquon Barkley to 81 yards until he made that last run where he just kind of gave himself off. And you know, they were talking a little bit about smart play or not a smart play to give himself off. And I'm thinking to myself, last year, and I think it was the first game against the Bears, when Aaron Jones mm-hmm. caught that screen pass and ran for a touchdown, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden at about the 10-yard line, he started grabbing his hammy.
Yep.
I wonder if Saquon didn't think about that, if he thought, if I keep running, maybe I could tweak something or somebody could tackle me or something, and that's why he went down. That's one point. Point number two is, why is Saquon Barkley in the game running the ball with a minute left and you're up 22-10? Does that make any sense?
It's the kind of stuff that Sirianni does. That's why in week 3 or week 4, I'm saying, I can't see that team winning the Super Bowl. It's stuff like that that he does. Like, that team feels like they win in spite of him. That team feels like they win because of all the talent and money put into it. And some of the play calling that feels pretty basic. But all that being said, they're moving on. You know? I mean, what do I know? that team seems to be gelling at the right time, and everybody's darling. I don't see it. I don't see it at all, but I could be wrong.
It's easy to talk smart, you know, when you're watching games.
Absolutely.
You know, and 100%. You're like, please hire me, because when you're Texas and you're at the 1 yard line against Ohio State, just run it 4 times and see if you can't maybe squeeze somebody through instead of on second down running it out to the outside. Now it's 3rd and 7.
Yeah.
You know, because he didn't make it once, right? And we always say, just run Josh Jacobs 4 times if you're close. That run he had yesterday of about 18 yards to the half yard line was just crazy. You know, and he's just a beast when it comes to that type of run for him. Timeouts. Again, we went into halftime. We turned it over just before half, and we had 3 timeouts in our pocket, and the clock is running. We're hurrying up, and then we throw a pick. Instead of taking a timeout, kind of settling things down, there's a minute to go. Maybe we're wrong. I don't know, but it just seems like clock management happens, and it's not just the Packers. I mean, it's a lot of teams. I mean, we saw it happen earlier this year with Eberflus with the Bears. Mm-hmm. You see it happen just so often. It's just like they should just have somebody standing either in the press box or next to the coach saying, "Coach, we got three timeouts. We got to use one here. Or we just got to pound it straight ahead. We just can't afford to lose yardage at this point in the game." You know, just little things like that. Again, easy to look back at when things go bad. But sometimes it's just you shake your head and go, why?
Well, and especially when you're going into halftime and you look at the turnovers and you're like, oh, my God, that's insane. And then it's 10-0 or 10-3 or whatever. And you're like, oh, wait, we're still in this. Yeah. Three turnovers and we're still in it. Philly's got some bang-ups, but that's a pretty healthy team compared to Green Bay.
And then we
that's
missed,
a mash unit.
We only missed our second field goal of the year. Would have been 10-3 at half. And if they don't get that touchdown on that fumble, it's 3-3 at half.
Yep. Right? That's why, to me, talking about whether they win or lose or any of that, I wasn't going to get into that part of it. I would say the same stuff I said to start the show that I would either way, whether they won that game or not. The body language and leadership of that team, the maturity of that team needs to grow up. There's a number of players, including Matt LaFleur, that need to grow up. They need to act their age. They need to treat this game and treat the other people that are doing this game not only like adults, but treat them like look in the mirror and act like adults themselves. There's only so much coaching can do, and at the same time, coaching has to be. That's why you're called the head coach. You're not the assistant coach. You're not the special teams coach. You're the head coach. Act like it. That stuff has to change. That's got to change. Otherwise, I cannot see that guy winning a Super Bowl. I don't know how. I've never seen that type of coach win a Super Bowl. Please correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I don't know how you do. I think that you've got that going on in the offseason, but you've got a lot to build on. And again, all of the things we're talking about, barely losing at halftime. Like, that's a team that you can build with. That's a lot. There's a lot to build work with that team. Randy, always good working with you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. We'll be back on Wednesday and Friday this week. We're so excited to hang out with you all week long, and we're able to do so thanks to our great friends over at Quality Post Printing. For all your printing needs, get on over to A Street South. Be sure to join us this Wednesday for our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with Phil joining us. Randy, you have a good night.
Yeah, you as well.
Have a good night, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.